Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm giving a shit about you today. Yes, because you need it. We all need it, right? I'm here for you. You know, this guy called in, like, was it last week? Who's that guy that called in? You know, I was just thinking about that. I got this I was asking for a call because never mind. But somebody called in from Nova Scotia, a baker, and he sent me a message and I can't find it. So whoever you are, the baker from Nova Scotia, was it Steve? Steve, I think, Dave, call in again today. And thanks for listening. I'm going to tell you about our, you know, it's Radio Free Brooklyn, right? You know that. It's the best radio station on the planet, on this planet, not on Mars, because, well, we'll be there. Well, we got a thing with Elon Musk going on, so we'll be there, but we're not there yet. But we do have this really, I am really excited. First of all, folks, I want you to know that I personally helped set this up. I am personally invested in our holiday party. Okay, personally, I want you, that's right, I'm looking at you, because you can get free drinks, free beer. I negotiated that for you. So don't fuck with me and show up at the party, okay? It's December 13th, that's a Thursday from 7 to 10 at Bravin Brewing Company, which is this amazing brewery run by awesome people. And we are able to give you two free beers if you RSVP. Okay, so what you got to do, folks, is go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/holiday2018 and RSVP. Okay, the venue, the brewery company is at 52 Harrison Place, and can you believe this? We're a nonprofit station, and we're also getting you free beer. I mean, what more can you want? You're welcome. So today I have this really fascinating and fabulous, I don't know, guest, Melissa Roth, who is ridiculously talented. She is an actress. She is a, you know, she's like one of those people that like can magically sing, dance, act. And she's also like gorgeous on top of that. And like, she's got a great figure. You know what I mean? Like, she's just perfect. And she's also nice, which is so weird. All those things in one human. But she's here today. And we had a nice chat before she came on. And I was trying to figure out, like, there's so many threads that I wanted to pull together. The reason I'd known Melissa and I'd intended on having her on, but I noticed this post that she had put on Facebook that she wound up taking down. And it was about how thankful she was. And she'd had some health problems, some really frightening health problems, but she's healthy now. Mm-hmm. And some boyfriend problems. So we talked before she came on the air, talked a little bit about that. And then we also talked, I also said, you've got to go to her website. It's melissaroth.com.
Melissa Beth Roth.
Melissa Beth Roth. Thank you. .com and look at her acting reel, because this person is, you know, so when she walked in, I'm like, how come you're not, you know, like, I mean, she's certainly knocked Cynthia Nixon, or I mean, there's so many, I mean, I don't know why that actress came to my mind, but there's so many great, like those people who she's so good and better than so many actresses on TV or the movies, and you know, she's got the whole package, and her career's going pretty well right now, I think. But we talked about that. So what I want to do with her is get into this quality, this strength, this ability to overcome obstacles and stay on track. I think has gotten her in trouble with men, mm-hmm. because she is gorgeous and she's everything, and she's not dating anyone right now. And part of the illness had to do with the breakup of a man. So I'm going to have her sort of explain that because I don't want to do the talking for her. But before I do that, I want to give, you know what I had to do? I'm going to Miami Basel. I'm covering it for the Bushwick Daily, which I'm very, very excited about. But the only time they could fit me in to have my roots, so I have to have my roots done, was this morning. And I want to give a shout out. Melissa, how great does my hair look?
Oh my God, it's wonderful. It's fabulous. It's the most beautiful fiery red.
You don't see me often enough, but this is really special. Like, this is special, right?
It is. I really look great.
Yes. I really look great. And I really feel that way, which is a pretty big miracle for me. So I wanted to give a huge shout out to pickthornbk.com. Pickthorn, PickThornBK.com. Just because, like, they're amazing, amazing women. And they're incredible, and I just wanted to share that. They're not paying me. They didn't ask me to do this. I just want to tell you how much I love those women, because for so many, if you go there, you will get your hair done, but you will also feel empowered. I'm not kidding. So if you have self-esteem issues, magically they will cure them. I don't know what it is. I'm feeling so good today, which is why I'm so glad you're here, Melissa.
Yay, me too.
A little closer to the mic.
Oh,
yes, close to the mic. So, Melissa, I gave you a mouthful to try to describe to us. So I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Why don't you describe the illness and the boyfriend, and then where you are now. And we also talked about how you're feeling like your career is totally on the upswing and stuff like that. So we want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then mention the Bohemians, and then I'll do the plug.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So long story short, I was seeing somebody who, I guess, had unresolved relationships with an ex-girlfriend, with another person who was kind of
more than one person.
It was more than one.
And did you know that? Were you aware of it?
I was not. I was aware that there was an ex-girlfriend. We had taken a bit of a break. We had then gotten back together.
But did he talk to her? Did you know he was seeing her? Did you feel like he hid that?
Oh yeah. No, okay. there were definitely, right. I mean, it was just, it was,
okay.
It was,
he hid it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Not my shining moment in terms of
no judgments. You know, no, don't start judging, because my listeners are way worse, and they'll be offended. They're way sluttier, right, guys? We're all slutty. Go ahead.
Yes. Long story short, I ended up getting a bacterial infection from this person. Yeah. And it was right before our relationship sort of fizzled. I knew things were coming to an end. It was still a little bit of trying to work things out. Mm-hmm. The problem was that I did not know that I had this bacterial infection. I went away to shoot a movie. I came back, had gotten priced out of my apartment, moved into another place. The guy that I moved in with was my friend's roommate. I moved in with him. He forgot to feed my cat for 3 days. It shut my cat's liver down. I watched my cat die for these many months. I had stopped sleeping as soon as I moved into that apartment. I didn't hit REM sleep for a year, on top of having this bacterial infection that eventually caused severe anemia. My body stopped absorbing any nutrients. No matter what I ate, I was not gaining weight. My skin turned yellow. I dropped down to 89 pounds. Before my sister was like yelling at me, I think you're anemic. So I thank her for caring enough to mm-hmm. pick a fight with me
live?
About it.
Where does
she's upstate. She's up the North Fork.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not
so,
too far.
No. So I at least had her kind of looking out
had that.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I do have a support system. I had somebody. But because I freelance, I had checked that I had allowed the IRS to track my income, so that, and which fluctuated all the time. So I was every month for that year, my health insurance was, I had it, I didn't have it. I was on Medicaid, I wasn't on Medicaid. So through all of this stuff, all of the extreme stress, cortisol levels, also my doctor believed that my pancreas eventually couldn't handle the cortisol levels.
From your stress.
From the stress.
Right.
The lack of sleep, you know, watching this dying cat. And then the bacterial infection, which then was causing the anemia, an overgrowth of candida, that happened. So by last October, I was just shoving food in my face, which I then think also pushed the pancreas, you know, over the edge, caused enough damage that my blood sugars, I also stopped ovulating. So my ovaries swelled up. So they thought I had polycystic ovarian syndrome, which I'm not insulin resistant. So that's not it.
Well, the point is, you had undiagnosed symptoms that were very, very obvious.
Yep.
Very severe.
Yep.
And it had to do with your pancreas.
Yeah.
And they thought that maybe you had
I didn't know. I mean, I just knew that I was they didn't know. Nobody knew.
So like that.
I couldn't get to a doctor until last December. So over a year. Going through all of this, trying whatever natural remedies I could. I ate myself out of the anemia. I did as much research on nutrition as I possibly could to see what I could adjust and change. And I already ate healthy and I already exercised.
You're naturally skinny. You're very thin.
Yeah, I mean, I was much curvier than
You don't look like, you look like a small, thin person, not like a freakishly thin person. But you said you were
20 pounds lighter.
Yeah, which is, I'm just telling you guys, because you can't see. Like, if you saw her now, you'd be like, she's so skinny. What is she talking about? She's just naturally skinny. Yeah. But like, this must have been really freaky.
It was scary. I couldn't sit on the subway. It was too painful because my bones were like, yeah. I mean, it was frightening.
No, it was very frightening. Yeah. Very, very, very. And you also had to work.
Multiple part-time jobs. And by the worst of it, last October, November, I was doing 5 shows within a, 6 week.
Did you have to kind of keep that to yourself when you were on sets? And
yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was doing shows where I was working with people on, there's one show that I do monthly. And so people kind of saw the decline, but weren't sure if I was.
Were people worried about you?
People were worried, but they wouldn't. They didn't come to me. You know, I they were discussing it behind my back, and often I could hear them talk about it, which was hard, and that was an isolating factor.
I'm like, this is a speechless moment for me.
It's hard,
folks.
Yeah, it was difficult. I could understand their fear of not wanting to insult me if it was something other than being sick. I could understand them not knowing how to help. But it was difficult, and I was too weak to ask for help. And the few people that I did ask, for help, I didn't get the help.
So let's talk about the Bohemians, and then I want to get into this. Yeah. So tell me about the Bohemians, and you have free tickets to give away, right?
I do have free tickets.
I said we don't get a lot of call-ins, but let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
How many tickets
you got? We have 6 tickets that we can give away.
That's pairs of
three. Yeah, so we'll pairs of three.
Or you can go by yourself if you just want one.
Why not?
Say it.
It's a romantic comedy, which is something that I'm very excited to branch into. I do a lot of drama. I do a lot of horror, sci-fi, that kind of stuff. So the romantic comedy is exciting.
Yeah, it's a comedy about love, life, letting go. Follows a couple who move into an apartment only to have their parents go to extreme lengths to get them to move. December 6th through 22nd, Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3. Theater in New City, 155 First Avenue. So call in for tickets, 718-928-9732. It sounds like it's like a fun thing.
It is, yeah.
And like people can that live in New York and like
they'll relate
to it. And also you get to kiss you're the star.
I do. There's lots
and
of
you
making
get,
out.
There's lots of making out with that really handsome guy.
Oh, he's cute.
Your
right?
co-star is also like, I looked him up. He's a part-time model. Is that fun, kissing him? Or
I mean, it's acting. She's making it's professional.
It's professional kissing. Okay, if he needs any practice, will you let me know? I'll tell my husband it's just professional.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so I'm really curious. So this is the feeling I'm getting from you. Like I said, I'm an asshole. I have no formal training, so I could be completely off on this. But this is the feeling I'm going to be direct about my feelings, mm-hmm. my sense of this. So what I'm getting is that you are like, what's the word? Like, steel. Like, you are like a fucking piece of steel. Like, no matter what, I'm going to get through this. I'm fucking self-reliant. I'm okay. I'm an actress. I'm going to smile and be professional. No fucking matter what. Is that you?
That's pretty much me. Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of rewards in that. And that's like, if you're going to have something that makes your life difficult, that's the kind of thing you want to have. But I think that I'm wondering if you take too much responsibility. That's what I'm wondering. So I want to find out more about that. And I think it might be getting in your way with men, because men, this is huge generalization, but like a lot of times it's, you know, we love men. I think society, and, you know, Trump is like the boldest example of this, of blaming other people. So, I mean, it's, you know, whatever. No blame on anybody, but I'm afraid you could be absorbing some blame. So I want to find out a little bit about your background. So where did you grow up?
I moved around a lot. I was born in New Jersey, moved to Maryland, then Virginia, then a number of towns in Connecticut.
Suburban?
Mostly, yeah.
And did you grow up with your parents?
I did.
They were together? Mm-hmm. They're still together?
Yep.
And your sister?
Yep.
Any other brothers, sisters?
Nope, just the one sister.
And what did your parents do?
My dad's a biologist, and mm-hmm. my mother was a nurse.
Mm-hmm. And what's their relationship like?
Their relationship is good. We do have a very close family. Mm-hmm. So I am very, I'm fortunate that I do come.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a nice family. You were always, were you always into acting or theater stuff?
I started, you know, the first play that I did, I was 5. I played Jack's mother in Jack and the Beanstalk. And apparently, my mom likes to tell this story that the teacher was very impressed because when I threw the beans out the window, it was like I was really mad. And apparently I improvised, "You stupid boy," as I threw them out the window. Yeah.
So it's always been your jam.
Yeah, it's always been what I went back to. I've explored many things. And you have
all this training. I mean, I don't know. There was a Shakespeare thing in England, right?
I went to the Hart School, and so we do spend a semester. We were the inaugural class.
But you're like. I mean, I'm telling you, the reel's great. So you can sing, you can dance. You're like a really like the real deal. The real deal.
Thank you.
So when did you have boyfriends growing up?
Yes and no. I guess I can say this, and this I think is where many of the things stem from. When I was 16, I dated a guy. He was 21. We worked at a candy store together. He turned out to be schizophrenic.
Mm.
And so that I think is where a lot of I had to grow up very quickly.
So what happened? Because schizophrenia typically comes out like at adolescence or later, a lot of times early 20s.
He was 21.
So he was a little older than you?
He was older, yeah.
Was he in college? That's a big age difference
It was, yeah.
And did everybody, was that a thing? Were your parents worried?
My parents were, I don't think they loved it. I think they trusted me enough to make decisions, but they didn't. I don't think they realized the extent. I certainly didn't. He had stopped taking his medication a few months prior to us meeting. And so it was sort of a downhill.
So he had already been, so I was imagining you were going to say that he didn't know, but he was already diagnosed.
He was also adopted. And he thought he was Jesus at one point. I mean, I held this man in my arms and he cried at the end of his driveway when he told me that the only, it was so severe. And, you know, a lot of my, kind of having to push through these difficulties in my life, I think does stem from that, especially when it comes to men, because that was such a terrifying situation to go through. You know, I mean, I'm
any silence in this conversation that you hear from me is emotions that are like really powerful inside me that I just can't really put into words. Okay, so let's just go with that. I don't want to. I just want you to know, folks, listeners, that's where I'm coming from. This is very heartbreaking. You didn't know he was schizophrenic.
I didn't know.
And what was he doing with his life when you met him?
He was the lead singer of a heavy metal band.
Oh. Oh, now I get it. Now it's all coming together.
See, and that's where it came from. Yeah. And, you know, I was working at a candy store in the mall, and he was working there also. So that's how and where we met. And so for me, you know, just being young and innocent and being this older guy as lead singer of a heavy metal band, he's interested in me.
Awesome.
So it was like awesome.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be not so awesome.
So what was your life with him like? I picture you in like tiny outfits, like hanging out backstage with like tons of drugs and alcohol. Or what
not
was
so
it like?
Much the tiny outfits. And I was actually very innocent. I didn't drink. I didn't do the drugs. And at one point I actually said, you know, like, yeah, he was smoking pot with his friends. We were at a party. I did sense, I mean, I was always a little, you know, intuitive. And I did sense that I thought that the age difference bothered his friends. I didn't know that there was so much more to it at that point.
So I sensed
a standoffishness from them.
Did they know he was schizophrenic?
Yeah.
And so that's why they were like,
we had an intervention at one point. I mean, like when things really got bad.
So did his parents, where were his parents?
Well, like I said, he was adopted. I think his father...
I don't think that matters.
More. I don't either.
Yeah.
But his mother was definitely hands off of the situation. His father seemed a little more caring and, you know, if my memory serves me well, interested in what our time together was like.
Uh-huh.
But his mother was definitely, she turned the other cheek.
So could he function well because he was in a band? Like, did his life seem sort of normal? I mean,
up to a guy
in a band.
And then
what
lost
happened?
When things really took a turn, he disappeared for a while. And so his best friend was asking me if I knew where he was. I did not. He ended up going to her house, moving out of his parents' house and staying with her for a while. And that's when the paranoia, the stories, I mean, so many stories, things that he would just tell me, like he was going to be living on the Indian reservation with his ex-girlfriend. And I mean, there were just so many strange things that he would ask me, are you going to come live with us? And, you know, so just this like stuff.
So how did you process that as a 16-year-old? That's not fair.
It was a little difficult.
Like
it didn't last very long. I would say there were probably a few weeks where there were these very strange stories coming from him. And then finally he disappeared for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And his friends found him. We all went over to a friend's house. All of the friends were gathered. They did not tell me it was like an intervention or anything like that. They kind of brought him in. They were like, look who we found. He had leaves in his hair. His eyes were dead. I mean, it was terrible. I was so scared.
Mm.
And I just remember sitting on the couch in the living room with his best friend while they had him in the kitchen and were saying that they want to get him help. They want to put him in a safe place and praying that he would forget I was there. And then he started calling my name and
crying. Why did they want him to forget you were there?
No, I wanted him to forget that I was there.
Why? What do you mean by that?
I didn't want to be in that room. I just didn't want to. I didn't realize.
Did his friends like prepare you for this?
No.
So that's
where it was. So
are
I
you mad at them? Fuck that shit.
I mean,
you should be mad at them.
I should be.
They're assholes. Were they his age? And
they were his age.
They were over 18.
I think they were, 18 and plus. And I think that they just didn't. I looking back, I don't think that they knew how to break it to this kid that her boyfriend is so sick, you know?
And it's difficult.
So I can get that. Looking back, I can get it.
But I'm just saying, like, the feeling that I feel is I'm furious at them. I don't necessarily blame them or I understand. I'm just saying, like,
but that they didn't say something sooner
or even prepare you before you walked in the door. You were just there and you had no idea.
Yeah. They were like, oh, we're going to talk about, you know, what's going on with him, you know? So I wasn't told that they had found him, that they were going to talk about hospitalizing him and all of that. So it was very, I was kind of in just there because I was his girlfriend, and then they put me on his lap. I'm sorry, but that was the worst.
How did that happen?
He started crying, calling my name. And so they brought me in from the living room and they put me on his lap and they're like, everything's going to be fine. Look, she's here. She loves you. I'm like, that was difficult.
More speechlessness. So you didn't want to even be there.
I didn't want to be there. No. At that point, I didn't know that he was going to show up. I thought it was just, you know, we were going to talk about what to do.
So what happened when you had to like sit on his lap and did they literally pick you up?
I mean, they brought me over. Physically. He stopped crying. It was, you know, it calmed him down a little bit.
To calm him down.
Yeah.
And what was that like when you were sitting in his lap?
It was numbing. Too much. I mean, this poor guy, you know, I mean, I'm still a kid at that point, 16, you know, but like I can feel empathy for this poor guy who's going through this horrible thing, who's mm-hmm. also terrified.
Were you still thinking of him as your boyfriend? Were you like in love with him?
I can't say that I was in love with him. No, I think it was more just infatuation and interest. And it was also that, you know, like the first, I mean, I don't want to, you know,
first
sexual
boyfriend.
Like all of this sort of.
But I guess what I'm asking is, did you feel obligated or did you feel more?
I felt obligated.
It wasn't that like this is somebody that I'm like, you know, like if that happened like now with like me or my husband, we would take care of each other.
Sure. Right. Yeah. No.
But it was more of an obligation.
I knew I was
which you didn't really have.
Frankly.
But do you think they put that obligation on you?
I think a little bit. I think at that point, I think one of the reasons that they didn't want to say all of these things to me and prepare me is that they were prepared to take care of it. Overall, mm-hmm. they did bring him to the hospital. I didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so it was was there so that I was included because of our relationship.
Right. I see what you mean. So they
didn't manage. There was no responsibility on me.
Okay. Okay. And so what happened after that? Did you know he was schizophrenic before that?
That's how I found out.
They told you that day?
They did, yeah.
So and then what happened after that?
I did go to visit him in the hospital once. And he proposed.
But did you feel a connection, an emotional connection? Or did you say, I know this is over and this guy's a friend?
No, I knew it was over. The first time that I went with his best friend to the hospital, it was, it's a, you know, like a university sort of facility. So there are many different departments. And we walked past the dental department and someone screamed. And we looked at each other and we walked right the hell out. We were like, not today.
Good for you.
But we did go back maybe the next day or the following day to visit him.
Right.
And he seemed like he was doing okay. He seemed to understand what was going on with him. But he did ask me to marry him. And I didn't know what to say. I said, you know, if we feel the same way after you get out of here, we can talk about it. And then he proceeded to introduce me to all the other patients as his fiance, which
I think
is also a little, you know, I mean, I can see that it was a little traumatizing. I mean, that was
totally,
you know,
totally. So how did you process all that? Did you talk to your parents about it or did you just kind of was it too scary to talk about?
No, I think I internalized it much more. Mm. You know, I talked to a few people a little bit later on mm-hmm. about things. I brought it up to my parents mm-hmm. since. I mean, my dad, you know, over Thanksgiving, he did mention that he remembers when I went to go visit him mm-hmm. in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So,
but you were like, I'm just going to handle this.
Pretty much.
You were like in the Melissa Roth mode of I'm going to handle this Roth.
Yeah. Because who do you talk to with that? You
at
know?
That age. I mean,
yeah. You know, and your friends don't understand. They haven't seen. And
yeah,
you know, anything like this and mm-hmm. you know.
So you had to deal with that. And I'm just thinking I have to do the station ID.
This is so
annoying. And also, if you want any free tickets, you want to see Melissa act really fun and cheery and look gorgeous, and make out with a really handsome guy. You should. This is all free. We're giving everything away. Call in at 718-928-9732. And don't forget about our Christmas party. Come to our Christmas party on Thursday, December 3rd. And go to our website and donate some money. We're giving you all this shit, free tickets, free beer. Go to our website, radiofreebrooklyn.org, and donate some money. You're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit every Thursday, 2 to 3. Okay, so you said that you think that this has affected you with men. Like,
oh, sure.
So what do you... Let's cut to the guy. Well, let's cut to recent. How is that? How do you see that?
Well, I think the deepest fear is that you never really know what somebody else is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, with him going back, you know, not everybody that I meet is going to be, you know, sick or schizophrenic. Obviously, I know that. But there is kind of that fear that you don't know what somebody's motives are or what they're thinking or mm-hmm. how they're going to react in a certain situation.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about trust.
It's trust.
And you have a hard time trusting people. Now I'm wondering if your family is ridiculously trustworthy.
I find that they are. I find that I can say things that they trust me, that I can trust them.
And they trusted you enough to go out with that guy.
They did. And
Yeah,
you know, I think they have, and it's not that they haven't in the past told me that they didn't like boyfriends of mine.
Yeah.
You know, so they will say something if it is, but nobody knew. He did hide it very well until he could no longer hide it. And at that point, you know, his friends were hospitalizing him and, you know.
An accident.
Yeah.
So, did you do well in school and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You're always a really good student.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go into the gifted program, but I chose not to because I was doing more of the,
you know what?
Well, it would interfere with some of like the, you know, the mm-hmm. more, creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
let me ask you something. Why did you take down, you took down the,
I did.
The post about what had happened to you recently with your health and your cat and stuff like that. And why did you take that down?
Well, part of it is, you know, social media is so funny. You know, sometimes it's nice to have an outlet where you can just be you and connect with your friends
mm-hmm.
on a personal level or people or let people know what is happening with you, especially if you don't see people for a very long time. But then there's also, as somebody who is in the public eye or, you know,
you're an
actor, a performer, keeping that professional. And then there's the, okay, well, if I do the professional.
So you were conflicted.
I was conflicted.
Between personal and professional.
Yeah.
And did you want to.
I always want to take my Facebook page down.
But
always.
So you're really self-critical.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit.
So you were conflicted about it. So there's part of you that wanted to reach out to people and let them know. You wanted them to know you were okay.
I wanted them to know that I was okay. I'm also very excited about things that are coming up. I mean, it was horrible what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, you know, I used to never even get colds. And then this horrible thing happened mm-hmm. and I was afraid I was going to die, you know.
So did you want to thank people? Did you want people to get the impression that you were okay, not to be worried about you? Was it about your career? What happened there?
It was that. It was also, I think, because it was sort of the year anniversary of it. I mean, it was last year, October, November.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't think I was going to see 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So now to have gone through and, you know, to feel good and look good and you know, sound good and, you know, all of these things, I feel better. And I've got these projects that are coming up, Bohemians and things that I'm
uh-huh.
writing and producing.
And
to feel like I'm moving forward.
What kind of I'm sorry to interrupt you. What kind of feedback? I just want to get everything. I'm just so anxious to get all of the Melissa Roth I can. Pack it in.
Mm-hmm.
So what? What was I going to say? I was going to say. So why? What was the? What kind of response? What kind of you must? I think people are writing. What did you get out of the post? Did you get rewarded for it?
I think so. I was surprised, really, how many people paid attention, for one.
Because
you never know, you know. how many people had no idea what was going on, even if I had seen them during that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was nice to, you know, to get a little bit of support, mm-hmm. you know, like, I'm glad mm-hmm. you're feeling better. Wow, I had no idea. Because I did meet many new people during that time as well. Mm-hmm. And so the judgments and the assumptions that people mm-hmm. make when they meet you, when you're in a, you know, when you look the way that mm-hmm. I did, or...
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you wanted so to it was, resolve, it was, help resolve it was that.
Yeah. But and also just the anniversary, just to acknowledge where mm-hmm. I was last year versus this year and the strides that I've made.
Because that's part of the Everything's Fine Melissa Roth
yeah.
theory. So you took it down. I guess that's fair because you're yeah. an actress and you're in the public eye, whether you like it or not. So yeah. I guess that's fair. So what happened with the guy that you were dating at that time? Like, how did you miss? What were the red flags that you missed?
Well, I mean, you know, the ex-girlfriend definitely was in the picture. And I knew that. They ended up getting, you know, I mean, they ended up getting pregnant. But they had decided they were just going to co-parent. So then we did get back together. And that was...
So there was a bit... He had had a baby?
Yeah.
And why did you get back together with him?
You know, now I'm asking myself that question. But he's also, I mean, he's very charming. And I don't know if I want to go, you know, I mean, he knows what to say. He knows how to manipulate. And, you know, maybe it was the attention. Maybe it was that there was somebody. I mean, at one point he was talking about living together and couldn't afford to buy a house, but, you know, could maybe afford to buy a co-op and, you know, make things easier on me. So it's like, maybe
you want
was
it
bit of that?
I mean,
I do want to be in a relationship. I right. just need somebody who can see me, you know. And
right, but you wanted to believe.
I wanted to believe.
Yeah, there's
you know?
A one.
And we did get along. There were things that you know, and I think when you know relationships, and a lot of the Bohemians is about this too. Two people who are very different, and right. how they come together, and you know, love conquers mm-hmm. all is the tagline. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that wanting to believe that somebody really does see you and really does accept you for who you are, mm-hmm. that you can do the same for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think seeing people struggle throughout my life and make changes and be in one position that might be detrimental to their physical or mental health and then make those changes to make themselves a better person, to me, that's attractive.
So do you feel like say this guy, or maybe it's a pattern, I don't know, I have yeah. no idea. I mean, is it like you is there like some part of you that wants them to fix themselves?
It might be. I think it also may, you know, stemming from my situation when I was 16, the being interested in how the mind works.
Uh-huh.
So I think there, you know, it might be a little deep-seated sort of interest in, you know, helping somebody you know, or seeing somebody make these changes in their life.
So you're okay with the guy needs a fixer. You're okay with a fixer upper.
Well,
or
see,
do you like a fixer?
No, I like somebody who can fix themselves because I'm trying to fix myself. So I think somebody who can understand that it's not just, you know, this is the way life is and there's no point in trying to change. It's somebody who can say, this is how I was. And that's where he was coming from, where he had taken his life. Did a total 360.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stop the lying or the manipulate. You know, that mm-hmm. I think is personality trait as opposed to, but from where, you know, this guy was at one point in his life that he confided in me to where mm-hmm. he was now, you know, he wanted to be a better man. He wanted to, you mm-hmm. know, and he made all of these changes. And I do respect that because mm-hmm. we all get stuck in these dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very difficult to get out of it.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm wondering. So yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering if you, if there's something in you that wants, like you love self-improvement.
I do.
And you're really good at it in your own self, right? Yeah. And I'm wondering, because all the things that you do would take a lot of discipline yeah. and hard work.
Yeah. Willpower. And yeah.
Yeah. And I'm wondering.
Sacrifice too. Yeah.
And what? Sacrifice?
Sacrifice. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if there's something about that is satisfying you with these guys, like you want to see them have that same thing and they want that same thing.
I think that
What is the longest relationship you've had?
4 years. And the last year of that, and this was before I moved to New York. So things were definitely different mm-hmm. once I moved to New York. It's
as far as dating goes.
As far as dating, it's a different beast here.
We all know that.
So prior to that, I was with somebody for 4 years. The last year, we had broken up, but we lived together for a year after. And we knew that we were just friends. Mm-hmm. when I asked him, I actually think it's very sweet. Some people look at me funny when I tell the story, but we were together for 3 years and it got to a point where we were really just very, very good friends who loved each other. He was coming out of the shower and I looked at him and I said, "When you see my breast, do you see a breast or an elbow?" And he's naked because he's out of the shower. He looks at me, looks kind of sad, but then looks back up into my eyes and says, "An elbow." And then he wiggled his dick at me and he jumped up and he like bolted into the bedroom. And it was adorable, but it was honest and it was real. And I appreciated that, you know, like, I was able to be comfortable enough to ask him that weird question and that he responded in such an honest way.
So this is all sounding so weird to me.
It's so weird, right?
Well, it's
but
sounding...
we knew that it was not, I also, you know.
But it's also you're giving him a lot of power over evaluating your sexuality, maybe?
Oh, like, I don't know.
Did it sound like that?
It didn't feel like that.
Didn't feel like me. That?
No, I think it was an honest question because we weren't.
You just wanted to
that
know.
Active. I was like, yeah. We're not, you know, okay. We do everything together. Mm-hmm. We laugh. We love each other. We snuggle.
So you guys are really
like,
close.
We were so close, but there mm-hmm. wasn't the
sexuality.
The sexuality there. Yeah. And so okay. is it?
So
yeah.
So that made you comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And we were not meant to be together. You know. Yeah. So and that was the only way that I knew how to ask him. You know, should we break up? Was when you see me.
Right.
Do you see me as you that know was, a sexual being, or right. are we just do we just love each other?
Yeah. But there wasn't a real direct conversation. Like you made, I'm just, you know, we
there
only have,
after,
we're
gonna, yeah,
we
yeah,
don't have but... enough, we're going to have to, I mean, we could do that. But I'm wondering about the red flags. Is there a pattern to these guys, the guys that you've dated?
Well,
is
I think certainly
pattern?
The last two, uh-huh. I think the main pattern on that was that it allowed me because, so this last guy off and on seeing each other, whatever, for 3 years. The one before that was 5 years, sort of off and on. He was just getting over a divorce. There were kids involved. There was stuff. And then my career. So being in New York and trying to establish myself and, mm-hmm. and where I fit in and find where I fit in mm-hmm. and when and all of that. Mm-hmm. We only saw each other once, maybe twice a month. And so part of that was our schedules. Other part of that was me trying to be patient with things that they were going through and trying to focus
on your work.
On my work.
Right.
And so it definitely, I think, became a habit that I just got used to only seeing somebody once, twice a month, but it sent the wrong message. Mm. It didn't send the I would like to build a relationship with you mm-hmm. message. It sent the I'm cool with just seeing you every once in a while, mm-hmm. and this isn't something that I'm looking, mm-hmm. you know, towards the future for.
Right, right.
So
the guy that you broke up with most recently, the guy that, you know, for lack of better, the guy uh-huh. that you went through that illness.
Yeah.
How often did you see him? Were you living with him?
No. He had brought it up at one point, but then when I tried to move forward, things got a little funny. We saw each other quite a bit in the very beginning, but then mm-hmm. I think, you know, the ex-girlfriend was like, heard that he was seeing somebody mm-hmm. else and started, you know, getting in there. And then it was once, maybe twice a month.
Hmm. So why did you put up with the fact that he was seeing another woman, seeing his old
girlfriend?
Well,
he was telling me that they were not.
So he was lying.
He was lying. And that's, you know, I want to believe and I want to trust. I mean, I think
you
that
do.
I've certainly
big
learned
time.
At this point, you know, but I don't, you know, I'm afraid. I am afraid of becoming jaded. I'm afraid of not being able to trust. And so I guess I do, you know, I do.
Okay, this is what I feel protective about for you.
Yeah.
So I feel protective because I feel like you give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
When you don't, when you shouldn't, or when you don't, I hate to use the word should, but when they don't deserve it, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like they didn't earn it from you. People need to earn that, and you want to help them.
Yeah.
And when people, when you you really want to help people.
Yeah.
Like you have a strong drive to do that. Mm-hmm. And people take advantage of that.
Yes.
So how do you protect yourself from that? Or why? Okay, so how do you protect yourself? Or why is that desire for you, of you to be, to protect the boy, the guy, so strong that it overcomes what's best for you? Does it sound like that's what you're doing? Kind of like you're hurt, you know, why, what is that? Is that from the boy in high school?
I think it might be. I think that a lot of these things do kind of stem from that, is that I saw him so much pain, you know, he was terrifying and he hurt me and there was, you know, but you know, all when people, and maybe not all the time, this is a generalization, but when people lash out and people hurt and people do, a lot of times it does stem from pain and hurt and there. And so, you know, seeing that, and sometimes it is hard to just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm trying to put that into practice.
Well, it's,
but it,
you know, you might have gotten wired. Like what I'm thinking is that you might have just gotten like, because I think first boyfriends are important. I mean, mine certainly has defined a lot of things for me, better for worse,
mm-hmm.
probably worse. But I don't know. I don't know. That's so long ago. But the thing that I'm thinking about is that, so the boyfriend, like you were there to sort of save that guy, but you couldn't really save him because of the circumstances, your age and all that. And that whole thing must have been so painful and so dramatic and so, like, frankly, ugly and frightening. And maybe you felt that you didn't save him. You couldn't save him. And maybe you're still trying to work that out to some degree or something. But you know what? Self-awareness, as my friend says, is the booby prize of life. So the thing is, it's like sort of discipline to try to find people that don't need that kind of compassion that you are so beautifully gifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that you get, you know, so do you think you're drawn to people who some need some help? Do you think like you feel an emotional connection to that?
I think a little bit. You know, when I was trying to decide whether or not, you know, what to do for the rest of my life, what my profession was going mm-hmm. to be. I was interested in going into psychology,
mm-hmm.
but I chose not to. I mean, one, I'm an artist. I'm an actor. That's my drive.
Right,
that's what
right,
I do.
Yeah.
But they are very similar, you know, really kind of getting into somebody's head. The reason that I did not go into psychology was because I know how sensitive I am. And I know how much I do take on other people's mm-hmm. energies. And I did not think that I would be mm-hmm. able to handle it in the long run. I thought that would be too detrimental for my own health.
Right. That was smart.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, the ex-boyfriend was part of the reason that I thought about it, but.
And those guys, like, and I don't think anybody's doing anything like, you know, intentionally like trying to fuck with you, but I do think that there are people who are just like, ooh, here's like a fabulous woman who's going to like help me. And they pick up on that. And then there's some of that that feels really intimate, like that person, mm-hmm. you're connecting with them, you're improving their lives, you're adding value to them. And that, and I can see how that could be good for, like, you could really add value to them for like a year or 2 years, but eventually.
It's temporary. Yes,
their character, their nature, like they don't want to be liars or something, but and you don't want to be just somebody helping, but eventually all that stuff, you know, we all. So how are you meeting guys now? You're too busy or what's going on?
It's pretty busy. I mean, I guess a lot of people that I do meet is work related. Even this last guy was work related.
Sure.
I mean, it was, I just wanted to, you know, I knew that they needed a backup singer for their band. And so I approached somebody, you know, about it. And so that's how we got introduced. And then he kissed me at one of their shows. And the other one was like, well, she can't be in the band now. So that was, so it wasn't even, didn't even start off romantically. It was like, I was looking for work. And then it derailed.
So are you dating mostly, have you been dating mostly actor, singer, musician types?
Yeah, I guess that's a, well, so the guy before that was a stunt guy we had met on
stunt. That sounds worse. Yeah. I know nothing about stuntmen, but that sounds worse.
No, he was very, I mean, you know, I think whatever.
And most of the guys you date, you meet in person?
Most of them I meet in person. I sometimes every couple of years I'll put up a profile on a dating website and then take it down after a week.
And I think a lot of men ask you out. Or you? No?
No, I've never actually, I've been asked out on one date over Facebook for coffee.
And so how do you, are you asking them?
It's usually we just end up hanging out, or like I said, this guy, you know, backstage kissed me, you know, at the show, and then we just started hanging out. So like, I've never been asked out on an official date. Most of the guys that we do, you know, the guy before this one, and like I said, since New York, I mean, I haven't had many boyfriends. It was the guy after college, or, you know, the guy in high school.
Schizophrenic.
And then my ex that I lived with after college before I moved to New York. And then once I moved to New York, you know, I've dated people, but it's been mostly like we meet, you know, I used to do a lot of, you know, cabaret. I worked as a fire performer, you know, so it kind of met people through that. And then we just kind of hang out. You know, it's never really beneficial. And I know what they're about, you know, so it was never, you know, thinking that they were boyfriend material. The last two guys, the one before this last one, met on a project on a film shoot, and I was doing makeup for it, and he would come back. He was done. He had been wrapped, but he would come and hang out and watch me do the makeup. So, I mean, we, you know, we started hanging out from there.
And you knew he liked you.
So...
I don't know. It sounds like a pattern. I mean, does it sound like a pattern
to
you?
So. Yeah.
And what about getting married and having kids? Is that a priority for you, or any of that stuff? Or?
I would like to get married one day. I would like to find, or at least find,
a partner.
I chose not to have children. I would be open to dating somebody with kids. I would be open to adoption down the line. You know, or. Whatever, non-traditional. I never was really interested in giving birth.
Yeah.
If that's, if that clears it up a little bit. I love kids.
Doesn't look good. Amy Schumer's throwing up on video, so that's not, you know, she's pregnant. But anyway, so is it the birth thing that you're afraid of?
No, it's more, you know, I chose the career over it. And at this point too, you know, age-wise, and especially with what happened health-wise, you know, my reproductive system shut down for 2 months, you know, so I wouldn't even try at this point.
So I'm wondering if there's really room in, you know, in a certain way, if it's practical, if there's room in your life for, like, how much time does your acting, is there room in your life for a relationship?
I could make the room for that if there was somebody who understands that my schedule's, you know, kind of nuts.
Okay.
But there's always time.
We only have, like, 5 minutes left. So this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that, you know, you're great. That's what I'm thinking. And I think that you could, I think there could be some growth for you as an actress and a writer that you are developing. And your career's doing really well. And I think there's like development for you in that, perhaps in that not taking more risks, but just focusing. Like somehow I feel like maybe you think focusing on a relationship is like indulgent or a waste of time. Do you think that sometimes?
I don't know if I would say waste of time, but I think like there's something there to what you said. I think it's
I could work. I could do the show or I could go out and try and meet somebody.
Right.
And I think you're always going to take the hard road. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this whole fucking life by myself. I don't need anybody.
Oh, I've thought about that.
So my feeling is if you said to yourself, I'm going to make a project of meeting somebody and like dating them four times, because three till you have sex and then one more after that, four times, and going on four dates with them. And I'm just going to make that part like a growth experience so that I can develop my range of human interaction. And like you make that a priority, I think you're going to get there. I'm surprised you're not dating a lot of people now, frankly. Guys, I'm surprised I'm not getting any fucking calls on here. But I'll post a picture. You'll see what I mean. So anyway, but the thing is, so I'm thinking that, but I'm also thinking that the pool that you're fishing in isn't the most stable pool, and that maybe you think stable guys are boring.
I don't meet many of them.
Because you're only hanging out with actors and musicians, but like you're a substantial person. And in order to really move your career forward with writing and everything else, you need to have a solid foundation. You need somebody who's solid.
Yes.
So I think, do you go for looks? Do you care about looks a lot?
I want someone who does enjoy eating right, who likes to exercise.
No, but I'm worried that you're a little
tall,
superficial.
Dark,
a little superficial.
I had a friend say that once. Yeah. You know, but I don't know that I actually have a type. I mean, many of the guys that I have dated look so different from one another.
Doesn't matter. But I mean, like, if you're going for guys who are like, you know, cool and handsome and charismatic and life of the party, and you make that a priority, those are all superficial things, which is,
not life of the party.
Okay.
By no means, no.
All right. Or not life of the party, but like a desire, like a cliche of a desirable guy, then you're going to also, if you're going for super, you do not seem superficial, but if you get sold by superficial qualities, so's everyone else that they're dating, and they are totally counting on that. So you know what I mean? I think you need to rethink your dating strategy. I think you have to have a dating strategy, and I think you need to rethink it. And I think we're getting a call. Let's see what's going on here. Are we getting a call?
Dr. Lisa, this is your friendly neighborhood baker. Steve here.
Oh, wow! You called me back! Oh, wow.
I just want to interrupt your...
Okay, yeah, we only have a minute left, and will you send me another message? Will you send me a message? Because I couldn't find your message. Just, will you send me a message on Facebook, a Facebook message? Because I wanted to thank you and stay in contact. I told everybody at our management meeting how I got a call from you.
I will, and I'd just like to say to your guest there that I'm really impressed with how she dealt with that whole thing with... her friend with schizophrenia and that's hard. Personally, that's very hard to.
Very hard. At age 16, she's like, I'm fine. I'll get it done, Melissa. No, exactly. Yeah, right. Okay. I'm going to say goodbye to you because I'm going to have to do the station ID. Thanks for calling in, though. Okay. I wish you were here. We'd give you tickets. So anyway, Melissa, will you come back? Can we do a dating experiment together?
Oh, gosh, perhaps. Yeah. I'd love to.
So will you come back? Will you do what we're talking about and come back?
Yeah, the show has to open first.
Okay, no, not this month, next month. 6 months from now. That's
great.
Okay, in the spring, like May, June, get some dates going and try and change your make